the Franklin Matters Radio Show, number 298 in the series. This session shares the Davis-Thayer Facility Analysis Subcommittee meeting held on Thursday, June 11, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Chair Elise Stokes opened the meeting, outlining the protocol for how the meeting will be conducted. The recording runs an hour and 12 minutes, so let's settle in to listen to the Davis-Thayer Facility Analysis Subcommittee meeting of Thursday, June 11.
And I'll leave time for comments at the end of our discussion. However, per school committee policy, we can't engage in dialogue during the meeting. There are many ways to communicate with us. Our contact information is on the school committee website if you're more comfortable emailing than speaking in a meeting. We always want to hear from you. Also, just to clarify, this is not the meeting that was canceled last Thursday. That meeting will be rescheduled when the architect's report is complete, and the agenda for that meeting will have the presentation listed on the agenda. Tonight, we'll only receive a quick update about it from Dr. Ahern. So the first thing, we need to approve the minutes from June 1st meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Great. Any discussion about the minutes? Judy, is there any discussion?
No, I got confused in how this was written up. No, I'm fine. I don't have anything on here about the June 1st meeting. I just have 5-7 and 5-21.
Oh, we approved those last. We approved those on June 1st.
Didn't we? Right, but I don't see the June 1st minutes.
Oh, I didn't send those to you?
It just goes from approval of those two to discussion.
Okay, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the agenda or an email?
I don't see the agenda. I just see the minutes, meeting minutes, approval of the past minutes, and then the next page is discussion.
Okay. Sorry.
So can we just move the June 1st minutes to the next meeting?
Okay, sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Figure that out. Did you see that in my email, MJ? I'm trying to figure out if I messed up and sent the wrong thing.
I can't get to my email from here right now.
Oh, no problem. That's okay. All right, we'll approve
there. Sorry.
I see June 1st on.
Okay, I thought.
The minutes.
Okay. And when you click it, is it actually June 1st? Yes, Miriam. Okay.
I must have printed out the wrong.
Yeah. No problem. There's so many. Okay. I did have a question about that. So I guess I'll just ask it and I'll just change it in the minutes and then we'll approve it next time.
Okay.
So I just wanted to clarify at our last meeting on June 1st, the group decided it was too early to gather information on the stage one phase two factors related to transportation, staffing, and financial considerations. Remember?
Sure.
So I want to be sure that so I have that in the minutes, but then looking at the visual graphic, the five-stage process that we have that we refer to all the time, I want to make sure that that accurately reflects our conversation. So should I keep transportation, staffing, financial considerations, should I keep that in phase two of stage one where they are now? And we'll just revisit them later after we receive the architect's report, after we receive the perspectives from family, staff, and community? Or should I take those out of stage one, move them to stage two, which is when we evaluate all our data and are looking at possible options, looking at determining possible options?
Two things. Number one, I think we should also include with those three the district map as well.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
If we have to do redistricting, it's going to change the district map. And I think for those four things, they should be moved down to stage four. Because we can't make any kind of decisions on transportation, staffing, et cetera, until we're further along in the process. My opinion.
I understand. I was thinking of it not as a final thing, but just like information gathering. What do you think, MJ?
I think that they should stay in one because it's all information gathering, as you just stated.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, but we just won't do them now. We'll do them at the end of phase two, stage one. Stage one, phase two, whatever it is. We should have had 20 stages, and then it would have been easier to number and distinguish them all. Okay. Judy, does that make sense? So if we wait, we're going to, so when we're looking at transportation, we're not making decisions on transportation. We're just saying like, hey, Miriam, could you tell us how much does it cost to have this many buses? How much would it cost? You know, that's sort of how I imagine it, is we'd just be asking Miriam for a bunch of numbers.
But I guess my problem or my questions with that is we don't know what we're doing yet. And right. Therefore, we don't know if there's going to be 6 elementary schools, if there's going to be 4 elementary schools, 3 elementary schools, 1 additional middle school, or yeah. who's going to go there, or what kind of buses we would need. So I think it's kind of too soon in the process. But I will go along with whatever. I mean, there's only 3 of us to make this decision, so it can be a very easy vote.
Right. I imagine that transportation would probably be revisited many times. So maybe this is just sort of like, I have no idea. I would have to ask Miriam how many students take the bus right now and how much does that cost? I have no idea. So that would be sort of like preliminary information on transportation. But then as we get further along, you know, after the full school committee votes far down the line, it's going to be much more complicated information about transportation and much more like sure, you know what I mean? Right now we're just sort of like estimating, ballpark, having, trying to get ideas in phase.
But the information that we have now about how many kids are taking the bus would yeah. altogether change if there's no more Davis Thayer School, because the majority of kids going to Davis Thayer schools don't take the bus.
Right.
I mean, we can find out how much a bus cost and how, but we, again, we don't know how many kids are going to be allowed on the bus in September.
Right. I know all of that. Okay. I'm just, for ease of the visual looking similar, I'm comfortable keeping it the way it is. It just means we're going to take longer in stage one than stage 2, 3, or 4. It just like puts more information gathering, I guess, in stage one as we initially imagined it. But we could change it and write it preliminary or baseline, or should we add some kind of word to it that makes it seem that it's not final, it's not finite, this isn't the be-all end-all information we're looking at, we're just sort of getting ideas on that.
Again, my opinion is this is all make-believe because we don't have anything valid to go on.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I would say an estimate, but make-believe is, I know what you mean by that. It's not based on fact.
It's not based on any facts whatsoever.
Yeah. It's pretend because we're imagining what some decisions might be down the road. Okay. MJ, you want to chime in?
I agree with you.
Keep it where it is.
Really valid points, but to keep it, keep it in phase one because it is all information gathering. What the end date is, God knows.
I know. Well, that's why. Remember when we first started this and I was like, I need structure. What's the timeline on this? And it was like, it depends. And that's it.
It depends.
We wouldn't have predicted that our meeting last week would have been rescheduled.
No.
Okay. All right. So great. Thanks for that. So there was just one more thing before we start our planned agenda, because I know we have a big group joining us, which is great. I want to address some concerns I've heard over the last few days about something said at Tuesday night school committee meeting. Mm-hmm. It was a long one. I know many people were watching. We were up really late. During the budget discussion, when the school committee members were brainstorming solutions for all the devastating budget cuts that we're facing, Dr. Ann Bergen suggested the school committee move up a discussion of the Davis Thayer study. Some people were concerned about the statement and assumed it meant we were going to skip right to the end of our process without doing our due diligence to gather all the information we need to make an informed decision. Let me remind you that we're a school committee of 7 people with different perspectives and various opinions, and that's okay. If someone wants to have a discussion, it doesn't stop or overrule our work as a subcommittee. We're the ones who'll gather the information, analyze it, evaluate possible options, then we'll need to agree on our recommendations here in the subcommittee, and then we'll go forth and present it to the full school committee. After all that, the full school committee will vote the process. And it takes time, as we know. I want to reread my subcommittee report from Tuesday night's school committee meeting, because I know many people didn't watch the entire meeting until the end, again, because it was so late, and I don't blame you. This is what I said. A week and a half ago, we received a handful of emails from concerned DT families. They were concerned about a statement in the town administrator's budget report that assumes the school committee will vote to close DT for FY21. At our last subcommittee meeting on June 1st, I clarified that a decision to close DT had not been made and will not be made until our process is complete. We're designing a questionnaire to gather perspectives from staff, families, and community members, and we'll schedule a second community information session as soon as the architect's report is complete and presented to the school committee. We decided at our last meeting that it's premature for us to examine staffing, transportation, and financial considerations, and we decided to add physical distancing as one of the future factors to consider. We had to cancel our meeting last Thursday because the final report and recommendations from the architect weren't complete as we expected. We value that data and recommendations as one of the many key components of our decision-making process, and we will wait until it's complete rather than rush and compromise the results. A reminder that all the information gathered up to this point is on the Davis Fair Facilities Analysis webpage. I urge everyone to read through the information, and please reach out with any questions or comments. Instead of going to social media, please contact us to get information right from the source. We're documenting all the communication we get through email, and this data will become part of the information that we'll consider as we're evaluating options for our decision. So that's what I said at the very end of the late meeting on Tuesday night. MJ or Judy, do you have any related thoughts on that before we get into our agenda for tonight?
No, I do not either.
Okay, so our agenda for tonight, we're going to draft our questionnaire questions, hopefully whittle them down and get close to something that, it's my understanding we have to present a draft questionnaire to the full committee before it goes out to families, is that right?
That was my question reading this. My understanding was we were going to draft up the questionnaire, then we were going to send it to Ann, and then she was going to review it with Sarah, and then it was going to go to the whole school committee. Because if we go to the school committee first, then we should have included all of them in the beginning, because everybody's going to have additional questions they're going to want to add or change.
Okay, but Sarah's here now. Like, isn't Sarah part of the subcommittee so she can give feedback now, or is it just...
I thought Ian wanted to be the liaison, though.
I think that was for the email responses.
Okay, so then as long as we have Sarah... We're just going to do us and Sarah, and then it will go to the school committee.
I think we do Miriam and Sarah, right?
Us, Miriam, Sarah, then it goes to the school committee.
Does it have to go to the school committee, Sarah? I was confused about that.
I'm trying to remember the conversation. And I thought that was more around the emails, just to make sure that everybody had the emails. And I think it was probably, you know, I think it's good for people to be informed. So I think it could potentially go to the school committee as an information piece around the questions that are being asked. Although now that I'm saying this out loud, I think that there was a question about there may be members of the committee that wanted a specific question considered as part of the data gathering, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think it would be best if we do share the proposed questions with them, take their input, and then put it out.
Okay, that works. So we'll do what we can today with the five of us, and then put it on the agenda for the next school committee meeting. If we agree after we're done. Okay. Great. Let me just pull it up here. So I had emailed it out earlier. Just ideas from Judy, ideas from MJ, ideas from me, sort of mushed together, not really done in a pretty way. Just sort of mushed together, and I numbered them so that it would be easier when we're talking about it to know what we're all referring to. Are you guys able to either have hard copies or jump on electronically?
I have a hard copy.
Awesome.
I took a look at them.
Great. Okay. So I'll open up to discussion because I I want to hear your thoughts.
Can Sarah put the questionnaire or the questions on the screen?
You want me to share it? Sure.
Yes, please.
Can you see it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's small, but we can see it. MJ, can you see that?
I can.
I think you might be able to change your setting, Elise, so that if you go to the top, I think there's a way for you to change how you view it, and it can be larger.
Well, I also have like three other windows with minutes and other stuff on my screen. So part of it, it's me. It's not you. It's me. I have the big one on my side of the screen. Okay. So MJ, Judy, any thoughts?
No, I like them. I like the fact that you kept the one, would you assist a grassroots effort to raise funds for renovation? I like that one.
And I think at our last meeting, we talked about I understood it would be easier in scoring to have them all be multiple choice, and you wanted them to be all open-ended. So I feel like there's a good mix of multiple choice and open-ended here. You know, yes. I was like, this seems like a good compromise.
Yes, it was a very good compromise.
Right. What do you think, MJ?
I think we hit upon, the most obvious concerns, asking people to identify, what their biggest concerns are, how concerned are they? And question number 9, I know that's yours, Elise.
I know.
That, when I first saw it, I was like, those things, it's good information to have. And when I first saw it, first draft, I was like, we don't need that. But it fits in nicely with the other questions.
Thanks. I knew that you sort of wanted me to nix that one. And
Sort of.
But I feel like I know these things will happen anyways, probably if the decision's made. But I think it's just, it's sort of, I don't know, the way it's framed, I guess. I sort of like the way it's framed, I guess I'll say, as far as like the bullet points of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of like the most horrific, terrible thing in the world, sort of framing it as far as like, this is the transition we're talking about, adapting and thriving. And we've all in our lives had new jobs or new homes or,
It's not like every parent is going to be checking off at every bullet point.
Right.
Every family's experience is different.
Right. And I think it'll be interesting for us when we get to our stage 2, when we're evaluating all the different types of data that we have. And if we look at it and, for example, say, 90% checked, it would be important for my child to be placed in a class with other DT students. That tells us a lot of information. But if only 10% of the people check that, that tells us information in a different way. And so I feel like this, it touches on a couple different important aspects.
Mm-hmm. My concern about it is if you get 80% of the people come back and say, my child to be placed in a class with other DT students, and that can't happen. And that a possibility cannot happen. Are we not leading them to a false security?
But do we know it can't happen? I feel like we don't know enough to know it can't happen.
But you don't know it can happen either.
True. Right. But I don't know. We have a lot of room in a bunch of schools as far as the data we've seen so far. And mm-hmm. So maybe it can happen. I don't know.
But again, Davis Fair may not close.
Right. But this is right. So this is saying if it were to happen. So there's some if it were to happen questions, and there's some if it weren't to happen questions. So I feel like we can balance it.
But Elise, okay, if all of the parents, you know, check off that it would, you know, it would be great to move to another school, but only with the kids in my child's class. Yes, we would have the information, but then those parents will be like, well, you didn't listen to us.
Oh, like think
of are listening. You know, we are listening to the concerns, every single one of them.
Right.
But like Judy said, if DT were to close and, you know, redistricting had to take place, we can't guarantee where their kids are going to land. It's not, well, we'll put this child in this class in this school.
Right.
And okay, their best friend is going to be there, but the other best friend can't be because they live on another street. So.
Right. So I understand we don't want to back ourselves into the corner and make it look like we're promising stuff because we don't know down the road what will happen.
Right. Right.
Do you want to nix the whole question or just certain items? Like, do you see that problem with every item in that question, I guess?
Well, couldn't you just make the whole response open-ended? Because if it's any one of these things, there, a parent is going to put that into their response.
Mm-hmm. True. If they're going to think of it independently. I know what you mean.
Great. But
can I point something out?
Yeah.
You have something in there that says my child placed in a class with their DT students, if possible, familiar DT staff, if possible. I'm wondering about up in the stem of the question, if you add if possible, or as, you know, and just sort of build that in where possible, what type of support could help you and your child, you know, where possible. Just to acknowledge that it's being taken under, it could be taken under consideration and potentially planned for. But yeah, I think it's a good point. There may be some challenges to meeting all those expectations.
Right.
But certainly, certainly wishes would be taken into consideration.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. So just add where possible or if possible in the question.
Yep. And take it out of the below.
Yeah, you've got it in a couple places below, but not everywhere.
Yep. Gotcha. Okay. So are we at a place where we want to bring this to the full committee to have them check it out?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay.
I mean, the sooner we get their input, the sooner we'll be able to get it out to folks.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry. You clarify number 9 for parents. Sorry about that.
Right. Because in the Google form, can't we do if they check I'm a parent, we send them off on a different line of questions?
I don't use that feature that much in Google Forms. Okay. Miriam, do you know if you can do conditional forms,
yes,
conditional questions in Google Form?
I think you can.
You know, I don't want to be the most disagreeable one here, but I thought we had decided upon one set of questions, one set of responses to all the people that were responding on them.
Right. No, we are. It's just that one question, because that doesn't really make sense for a community member or a staff. Maybe
I think the staff may have some ideas, and, you know, just knowing how student centered and student focused our staff is, the staff may have, the staff may have some, you know, they're not going to choose everything because it's not all going to be pertinent, but they may have some thoughts about the transition, potential transition process, and other thoughts to share too.
Gotcha. So should I say, instead of your children, if students were assigned to another school building, or if you were assigned to, you know, are we talking about staff's own transition or about the transition of the
Why don't you just say on number 9, if your child were assigned to another school building, what types of support could help you on your, if you had a child that was going to be assigned to another school building, what types of support could help you on your child and transition, adapt, and thrive? Because not everybody who's looking at this is going to, they may have a child in another school. That child may be also disrupted with movement around, et cetera, et cetera. And just make it open-ended, anybody.
Gotcha. So if a community, and we won't make it required, if somebody, if it doesn't apply to them, they just don't answer it?
Right. If you had a child that was going to be assigned to another school building, what types of support, what types of support could help you and that child transition, adapt, and thrive?
So instead of saying if your child, saying if you had a child, it's almost like, you know, hypothetical, right? So anybody could answer
anybody it. Could answer it, right?
And then we can sort the answers by respondent
of who are the current parents and who are
And I would recommend, from a data analysis standpoint, I think there's going to be a lot of information coming in. I would recommend having it be a combination of predetermined responses here and then others, so people have an opportunity to share additional thoughts. But I think from a data analysis standpoint, I think if there are some things that people can pick, that would be helpful in sorting through what is probably going to be hundreds of responses.
That's the thing. And like Judy and I were talking about before anybody got on, it's like things like that are so much easier to do in person. You know, we were saying, oh, good thing we're not meeting in person because it's raining and we would not be able to meet outside in a picnic table or something. But, things like if we're sorting through what aspect, number 4, what aspect of DT school building grounds do you find most troubling, or what are your top 2 concerns, we're going to have to do all that manually. And that's going to take time.
The whole thing is going to take time.
Yeah. Okay. So, Sarah, were you just offering your perspective on that for data analysis for number 9, or were you thinking we should add some options for the earlier questions also?
I think if you're able to identify potential concerns and then leave room for people to add their own thoughts, that will also make it easier to analyze the data. Mm-hmm. The aspect of the school building and grounds, you could go back to the architect's initial report and look at some of the discussion that he put about educational adequacy, and those could be some of the bullet points that get put there. Reasons for, I think all of these you could potentially pre-populate with a few things for people to select, including the reasons for continuing to utilize the building as one of the Franklin Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
So having it be kind of a combination of pre-selected and open-ended.
And always having other at the end of any type of option. Yep. Okay. So I think that was sort of my first go at it. I tried to populate it with options. Just imagining down the road trying to sort it all manually would be tricky. And then Judy was saying that she wanted more open-ended, just so we're not like putting ideas in their head, right, Judy?
Right. Yeah.
MJ, do you have thoughts on that?
I agree. I'm pretty sure my original comments were that we were telling them what they were, what they were going to think, how they should answer.
And you prefer open-ended?
For the most part, yes.
But right now you've got a combination of both open-ended
and
open questions, just to add other. Mm-hmm. To all of the ones that don't have other on there.
Right. It's really the last one, and the others are just rating, you know, some kind of rating, how much you agree, how much you're concerned. Those 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, those are yes, no, yes, no. So it's really, Sarah, for you and I, it's really just 3, 4, 5 that, like, we'd have to go through by hand.
Mm-hmm. Which I think in the past, if we have, when we have done things like this, we've kind of been able to sort them into categories.
Yeah.
So I think if we approached it that way, we probably could narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah, themes and patterns will emerge.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Elise, I would just make one comment, a minor, on question number 8. Strongly agree and agree are 2 bullets.
Oops. There we go.
Minor.
Yes. Thank you, though. Important, though. Great.
It's that detail piece in me.
I know. It's great. Okay.
Okay, so now I have a question. So basically, we're all set with this, except we're going to just change the wording in question number 9. Is that correct?
Yep. I sort of changed. So I changed it to, if you had a child who was assigned to another school building, what types of support, if possible, could help you or could help your child transition, adapt, and thrive? Does that sound better?
That makes sense. Okay. So then, therefore, we could vote on this so that we can get this part of this done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want a motion?
Oh, right. Yeah. Is there a motion?
I'll give you one.
Great. Let's do it.
Move to approve the number of questions to be sent out to on the questionnaire with the modification as stated on question number 9.
Is there a second?
Second. Yes.
Okay. We'll vote by roll call vote. MJ Schofield?
Yes.
Judy Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Lee Stokes? Yes. Great. So we'll move to vote.
Can I just clarify something? So my understanding is that this would go into the, I'll talk with Anne about putting this in the school committee packet for the next meeting so that everybody, is that your wishes?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
For their comments and input.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Okay, so the next thing we have on the agenda is reviewing the email response. So as we know, and I'm sure a number of the community members listening know, we received a bunch of emails about 2 weeks ago and a couple more recently. And at our last meeting, we talked about, you know, I had asked Anne, can I respond? And Anne said, yes, you can respond. And then I did. And we realized in our subcommittee that maybe we needed to have a different type of process for that. So Judy and MJ and I trying to figure out, instead of after every single email we get in, we have to have a meeting and discuss how do we answer this one person. It would just take so much time to be doing that every single time. So we decided we were going to put together sort of like a informational blurb that's sort of generic that can be sent to anybody that emails us their comments, and then bring up any questions in our subcommittee meeting or school committee meeting, however it's appropriate. So we put something together, which is pretty much pieces of other things mushed together with our names on it. So it reads, dear so-and-so, thank you for reaching out to the Davis-Air Facilities Analysis Subcommittee and sharing your concerns about the possible closure of the Davis-Air School. At this time, no decision has been made. Communication with the community is extremely important in this process. We want families to feel informed and included. We have been following our process as designed and have been transparent about each step. We will continue following our process as designed and will continue to be committed to transparency about our process as we gather new information. In the near future, we'll be moving into the second phase of stage 1, which is when we plan to gather staff, family, and community perspectives, which is we're working on tonight, along with other important information. For your convenience, we're including the 5-stage process visual below. All concerns, apprehensions, anxieties relative to the Davis Hare School will be amassed with all the other information being gathered by our subcommittee. Thank you for contacting us. We appreciate your input and your concern. Rebecca Cofilli signed the DT Facilities Analysis Subcommittee with our names. And then so as we talked about as our last meeting, we would have this anytime we made a change in our process or a change in any of the information that it includes here, we could talk about it in one of our meetings saying, oh, look, we're not actually on stage one anymore. Now we're on, you know, we're solidly in phase two, or we're, you know, if we have any updates, we can change our generic email just so that it's always current and accurate. So those are our thoughts, I guess, based on our discussion from our meeting first. Thoughts on that?
Sarah, what do you think of it?
I think there may be just some minor tweaks potentially, because it may be that people ask questions. So it may be not concerns that come your way, but it may be questions. And so if there was a question, maybe adding some language around, you know, the analysis subcommittee will, you know, consider your question and respond after its next meeting, something, you know, at its next meeting. Mm-hmm. You could point them to the website for additional information.
True.
You may be getting emails, not just from families. I think most of the emails are coming from families, but it could also be from community members. So you may want to add, we want families and community members to feel informed and included. Mm-hmm.
But this doesn't say anything about it's going to just families. We want families to and
community members.
Community members to feel informed. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just adding the part about the question.
I think concerns is probably the biggest majority of emails that come in, but there may be a possibility of somebody who isn't necessarily a concern, but maybe a thought related to the closure. So maybe people are sharing their thoughts. Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to send out a generic response, and I know it's good. It's like nice to say, I don't know. I guess everybody wants to know their email was received, right? And then I want to answer every question and every concern, validate the concerns. It's like spend way too much time and work on, you know, and I understand that that's not reasonable and that's not necessarily what everybody wants. They just want to get their message out sometimes. So I understand this. Even though I feel like it is a little bit cold, which I don't like that part, but, you know, we do read all the emails and we think about them and feel them and we document them and they're all coming in. It's just like the responses that are coming out aren't going to be that warm and fuzzy, I guess. Right.
Maybe you acknowledge that as part of the message, you know, while we'd like to, we'd like to respond personally to each of you as a committee.
Oh, that's good. You know,
we need to agree upon a message and, you know, this is our current and most up-to-date information, something like that. So you could even, you know, be somewhat acknowledged.
I like that.
Unapologetic about that.
Yeah, right. Especially when I know people personally, it seems so strange to, like, give them this, thank you for contacting us, you know?
Put on the other hat.
Right, exactly. I know, sure, too. You'd like to respond to the committee. So do I, so I guess this is just my question about open meeting law, right? So we're not allowed to talk about, we're not allowed to deliberate when it's not a public meeting. So can I, do I have to finish this email right now in front of everybody, or can I finish it later based on what we just said? Just so you don't have to wait for me to type it in.
Well, if we agree right now by reading it as to where the words are going to be,
right,
then doesn't that take care of it? And then you can type it up afterwards?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you get the concepts.
Yeah. So something about what Sarah said, while we'd like to respond personally to each email, we've decided as a committee to share a more general update or something.
Subcommittee.
What? Oh, yeah. What? I would have found that. Like taking minutes and talking and typing. A lot of pressure. Okay.
You're doing a great job.
You can't see my feelings, that's why. Okay, something like that.
Okay, but in the first paragraph, you want to put in the second sentence, subcommittee, in sharing your thoughts and concerns about the possible closure.
Okay, thoughts, yep. Right, thoughts and
concerns.
Yeah, and then at the end I said the facilities analysis subcommittee will address any questions at our next meeting.
And then in the second paragraph, the second sentence, we want families and community members to feel informed.
Yeah, I got that. Okay.
Great. And Elise, to be consistent, at the start of the email, it says concerns. And at the end of the email, instead of saying, you know, we'll address your questions and or concerns, just to be consistent.
Thank you for contacting us. We appreciate your input. And okay. All right. So
where are you putting in the sentence about while we would like to personally respond to each of you?
I did that the second. I would say, dear Judy, thank you for reaching out to the Davis Dare Facilities Analysis Subcommittee and sharing your thoughts and concerns about the possible closure of Davis Dare School. While we'd like to respond personally to each email or something, we decided as a subcommittee to share a more general update below something. I can make it sound a little bit better, but that's the point where I was going to put it.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, right near the beginning. All right, any other thoughts on this? So I think at the end of every meeting, we'll just take 20 seconds to just say, how's our email response? Do we need to change anything, yes or no? Does that sound good? Just to make sure we're always up to date and accurate.
That sounds good.
Sounds like a plan, Elise.
Great.
So now the process now is, after you have this all written up the way that we've decided it's going to be, you're going to get that to Ann.
Right.
Is that correct?
Anne will send it out. So I guess it will come from her email, but then it's signed by us. I think that's what we decided. It's my understanding that's what we decided at the last meeting. Sorry.
Okay. And when Anne sends it out, she can, there's got to be a standard line that she uses saying that the following message is in response to your email regarding the Davis Dare facility analysis study. So that has to be consistent from her. I know she too likes to personalize all of her responses,
right?
But it's gotta be one sentence. This is being sent in response to your contacting us.
Should it be like, I'm forwarding on behalf of the...
On behalf of.
Right? So, I'll just add it here. On behalf of the Davis Dare Facilities Analysis Subcommittee or the school committee?
Us, the subcommittee.
Yeah.
Subcommittee.
Just a question.
Go ahead.
Did we set up a generic email for these emails to go to, or are they going directly, let's say, to the chair or to individual members?
No, they're going directly to the chair or individuals. We decided it would be to have an extra email address. We decided would be too much.
My thought is, if we had a separate email account, then this is an auto reply.
A bounce back, yeah.
And then at some point, we go through the individual emails as a subcommittee. The group goes through the individual emails, and maybe again we see the themes and patterns, and summarizing some of those comments and concerns and thoughts that are in the bodies of those emails. But then this email goes out as an auto reply once the email address is set up. I don't know if it's possible, but it was just a thought.
That makes sense. It makes it a faster response.
Right. And we can update it. I think the only thing is sometimes people click the button, email all school committee members, and sometimes people are either copy and pasting or they're literally typing it in.
True.
You know, like we receive them in all different ways. So sure. We'll still get some to our school committee email, and at that point we'll follow the AN process. Right. That makes sense.
I think, if I'm understanding correctly, if we get a separate email account and give a wrote this letter out as a response, then if we get it individually, we shouldn't be giving them to Anne. We should be sending them to this email account for the response to go out.
You're too careful.
I think in that case, you would send it to this email account and you would get the auto reply from the email account versus the original sender. Unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, that would. Okay. All right. So I'll just clean it up to make it flow a little bit better. But we know what we want to say where. We know we want to have a quick little blurb from Anne at the top. I'm sharing this email on behalf of the Facilities Analysis Subcommittee. But besides that, we're good to go. Because I do have a couple that we owe a response to. And I'm so sorry to those couple people, because you came right in the period of after I responded to some people and we talked about it, but we hadn't had this meeting yet. So I was like in the black area of not being able to respond. So I'm so sorry. And you'll get one of these. You'll be our first guinea pig.
So exactly how are we doing it? Are we having a separate email account?
I think I could go either way. I think last time we decided not to have a separate email account, but the bounce back, Miriam's a really good idea, like the out of the office reply. That's a really good idea that makes me reconsider. I don't know. What do you think, Judy and MJ?
Well, I guess I'm confused now as to exactly, these emails are going to come in through the school department, our website address through the school department. So they're going to come to all of us individually, right?
They have been. I think it depends who the sender sends it to.
But then how do we get this rote response to them?
So if we have like a DT at Franklin Public Schools, like if we have a DT facilities analysis email address that isn't any of ours personally, it's just, we could put it on the website, we could share it in a couple places. If we get a new email address that's just for this purpose, then we can program that to say this whole thing that we just talked about. So when somebody emails that account in, you know, 3 seconds, they get the reply every time, which there's beauty in that because it's automated and they don't have to wait for us to get our stuff together and figure it out and go through our process. But then if we do get some that are, you know, to Judy separately, to me separately, to MJ separately, then those will go through the process with Anne sending it out on our behalf.
Okay. All right. So does it take time to set up a new email account?
It doesn't take that long. It doesn't take that long. I can contact the tech department and get it set up.
Okay. Thank you.
Can an auto reply be this long? I've only done like a small paragraph at a time. I've never done like a...
It's not that long, Elise.
True, but okay. It's like half, it's almost 3/4 of a page.
I think it'll be
fine.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. So let's do that. We'll get a DT facilities analysis email.
Okay.
And then if, I guess, talk to Tim or whoever can help with that as far as the length of this. And then when this is finalized, I'll send it out to all of us. And then that can be put in as the auto reply. Is one of us going to be the administrator of it, or would that be the tech department or the district? How would that work?
I would suggest that several people have access to the account. So Elise, maybe you as the subcommittee chair. I think that I should have access in the event of backup. It could be shared by all three of you, but just, you know, I think multiple managers might be helpful.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we won't be using it directly. We'll just be changing the auto reply when as we move along in our process, we'll just update a sentence here, a couple words there, that type of
thing. Yeah, and then grab the emails that have been in there for capturing, you know, what people are sharing, right, to amass that as information.
Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, great.
I like it.
Thanks, Miriam. That saves a lot of time. I'm sure
great idea, will... Miriam.
Would you want me to see if it's possible to have the account automatically forward the incoming messages to you in addition to auto reply?
I think so. And I think honestly that the whole committee benefits from reading these things. I know after this weekend we got so many emails. People were flooded with emails. But I think, you know, we all need to stay informed about this. I think it's three of us are, you know, in the thick of it. But everybody else on the committee, I think that it's good for them to hear people's concerns.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So I will check and see if that's possible from a tech standpoint. It seems logical to me that we would be able to set up both an auto reply and an automatic forwarding to all of the school committee members. Mm-hmm. And that way, it's, you know, you're reading it in real time. There's an automatic response, so people are getting it, and it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Right, and everybody knows this was already responded to, because I know a lot of us are like, oh, we feel bad. Is somebody responding to this? I'm not quite sure. Those types of things. So we'll all be confident that they're getting the response.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we're done with that. The last thing on our agenda is receiving an update of the Castle Booth Facilities Analysis Report.
Yeah, so I actually have two updates for you. The first one I'll talk about is the architect's report. So thank you for your understanding and adjustment last week. I think that it was wise to not rush anything. The architect's report is coming along. It's got more in it than it's bigger than kind of what you saw last time with kind of that interim step around kind of quantitative data. There are some qualitative pieces, and some of those qualitative pieces were completed and some of them were still being worked on. And so he had plans to work through the night, but it would have been rushed. And my expectations are a little bit higher, quite frankly, for what I'm going to put in front of the school committee or a subcommittee than what you would have seen. So I think it was wise to hold off and wait and allow a more thorough an accurate report to come forward. So he's still working on it. Miriam and I had a call with him yesterday to see it a week later and to see it in development. So he's still working on it. I think, you know, just to share a little bit of piece of information about sort of the analysis or the conclusion piece that he's looking at is, and I don't think this will come as a surprise given the capacity piece that you saw before, that you've got the complex schools that are built more recently, that have some space in them, and then the three standalone schools are all a bit older, and that there are aspects that the school committee will need to consider about the facilities, both in the short term and in the long term, with respect to the schools. So he also is including some examples and designs for 21st century learning spaces at the elementary and middle level, and so it's still being worked on. I don't have a firm deadline. He and I were going to connect before the weekend again to see how things were shaping up between yesterday and tomorrow. I would like to share it with the admin team for a bit of a fact check, particularly around the qualitative pieces that he's including. I think that the building principals will have some things that they think are important to add for you to see related to each of the schools. So it's a bit of a status update. Happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions, MJ or Judy?
Not at this time.
I do not.
Okay.
The other update that I have for you is, it's so helpful. Minutes are so valuable. I went into the minutes and saw the questions there, and had been reminded that I had a follow-up step to get back to you on. I did send the other questions to the architect so that he's prepared to answer them when he comes before the subcommittee. But I did look into the home sales since January, so we have some data for you on that. In the past, this is from the town assessor's office. In the past 5 months, there were 85 single family home sales and 65 single occupancy condo sales.
We had to do what, 275?
275 over the year, and that was for single family homes.
Oh, okay. And they don't consider a condo a single family home?
No, I think he was thinking single family homes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was 275 single family homes. We are headed into a typically busier real estate turnover time, with it being summer. I didn't check how many listings are currently active. It's also been a really difficult time for home sales, just with some limitations around open houses and things of that nature. So I'm not surprised that it's, and I didn't do any historical comparison, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's lower than historical comparisons for the same 5 month period in the recent years.
And Sarah, can you just remind us, what was his name? The demographer.
Jerry McKibben.
McKibben. So he was going to do an update. Is it August or September that he was scheduled to do that?
So he's going to do a bit of an analysis. I'm not sure how much of an update it is, but it will be something of an analysis of his own work in terms of accuracy. And it's going to be based upon our actual enrollment. So we're going to see who is enrolled in Franklin Public Schools in the fall.
Okay.
The closure and the pandemic is going to throw a little bit of a margin of error in that data too, just in terms of people, where people are in terms of enrolling children. I think we may see some increase in enrollment if students are, for a variety of reasons, no longer enrolled in some of the private schools. And we also may see some decrease as well if families are nervous about sending their children to school and choosing, for example, to homeschool next year. So it's a kind of a tricky time, but he will be doing something of an error analysis once we see what our enrollment is in the fall. And I think that September is probably more realistic. Potentially even, I don't know if he would use the October 1 numbers. Those are the official numbers from which, you know, all of our funding is based. So I don't know if he'd wait for October 1, but it would be sometime in that time frame.
Okay, that would be really interesting.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, so that's the end of our scheduled agenda. MJ or Judy, do you have any other thoughts or things you want to bring to the group?
Not at this time. Thank you.
No, I don't. Just a reminder, we are continuing to work on the Davis-Thayer Facility Analysis Subcommittee.
That's true. Just in case you're
not, we have no intention of disbanding anytime soon.
That's true. No, we're not breaking up the band. Just in case people hopped on late, I did say that, and we will keep repeating that. We're doing our work. We're following our process. Definitely.
Do you have anybody in the chat room?
I don't think we have a chat room, but we can. So I'm going to open it up for public comment, and just a reminder that if somebody wants to speak, we can listen, but we can't engage in dialogue. We're not being rude, but we have to follow the policy. Issues you present may be brought forward as future agenda items or addressed through the superintendent's report at full school committees. And this is probably the hardest thing for me to do, is listen to people and like look them in the eye and smile and not talk back. Really, I feel like I should mute my mic because it's impossible, because I nod or I give like a me too. I just can't. I have to sit on my hands. It's hard for me. So I'm learning, and if I read it every time, maybe I'll learn. So I'm sorry that I can't talk to you, because I like talking to people, but I'll listen. We'll listen, right?
Can I just interject? You want them to just give their name and their address, right?
Yes, please. Okay. So if you want to speak, I guess put your camera on, unmute your mic.
There's also a way to raise your hand. And I'm not 100% sure how to do that.
Just lift it up and wave it.
it's so
very simple move.
You're right.
I think it's a setting, but it's not available at the bottom right now.
Yeah, it is. Right. Jen Johnson has her hand up.
Oh, I don't see that. Okay, thanks.
Hi.
Gretchen, too. Okay, so how about Gretchen? Can I say Gretchen first, just because I saw her first? And then we'll move to somebody else. Gretchen.
Hi, everybody. Gretchen Donahue, 7 Padden Road in Franklin, obviously. So one response I got from a school committee member, Dr. Bergen, had indicated to me there may be interest in the property at Davis Thayer, that there may be interest in renting the property. So I know you can't answer questions, but I just wanted to raise it as a potential situation or a circumstance that might, I'm worried, is going to again accelerate the process. But I hear you guys have been very clear that your committee's following the process, so I'm not worried about this committee necessarily, but I am concerned, you know, if Dean College, for example, said, hey, we'll give you, when I have no idea because I'm an English teacher, I don't know, like $2 million, would we be like, okay, forget the process? So I'm just concerned about if somebody's interested in the property now, I imagine they would be interested next fall as well. Like, I think it's a valuable piece of property. And I imagine when it's closed, it will generate a lot of revenue for the town, which is a good thing. But I just wanted to raise that potential concern.
So thank you. And so we'll address that in a future meeting, right? Can I say that? Or we'll find out about it? I feel like I need to say something.
I think you could say, we'll take it under advisement.
We'll take it under advisement, Gretchen.
Yes.
And I wrote it down.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And so then, MJ, you said Jen Johnson was somewhere?
Jen Johnson.
Come on up. There she is. Hi.
Hello. Jen Johnson, 19 Longobardi Drive. So
I'm looking at my phone for information too, but so my comment question pertains to number 7 that you have on your questionnaire about would you be interested in assisting in a grassroots fundraising effort for renovations for Davis there.
So I guess my question comment is, does that mean renovations are on the table for Davis there? And if so, I attended the FinCom meeting last Thursday, and there is $15 million right now earmarked for municipal updates. And some of that money has already been flagged for Remington Jefferson, $3 million, and $1 million for Parmenter. So I'm wondering if this is an option, would Davis there be eligible to receive some of that money?
Elise?
Thanks, Jen. We'll take that under advisement.
Thank you, Elise. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, Julie Riccardi.
Julie.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Julie Riccardi, 8 Jack's Way, Franklin. My question is related to enrollment data. As I'm thinking about the census, and we all just took the census, right? The 2020 census data is due around now. When I took the census in 2010, we didn't live in town, and my kids weren't even a thought. And so I'm really curious how they plan for and think through what census data looks like when, for me, for example, didn't have twins 9 years ago. So thank you.
Hey, Julie, sorry, can you say that one more? I was listening and not typing, which is, okay. So how do they plan for?
How do they plan for enrollment numbers when people like me that are sitting there today in 2020 won't even be pregnant until 2021? So how do you know, you don't, but how do you know how what our enrollment will be? Because I didn't live in the town and I didn't have kids.
Right. Right. So that would be a McKibben question. Right. Okay. Great. Thanks. You. We'll get under advisement. All right. Evan, did I see you there somewhere? Evan Chalman, were you on purpose? There he is.
I was just going to give some tech support on how to raise your hand in a Zoom meeting.
Thank you.
But it seems like people figured it out.
Well, how about tech support for those of us who want to see who raised their hand?
Oh, if you open up the participants right at the bottom, then.
Oh, I see Jen, Julie. Okay.
Yeah.
Click on participants.
Yeah, you can invite, mute me, and raise hand. And if you do speak, then you can click raise hand and or put hand down.
Or I can put their hands down if I want to.
Also, I did want to let you know, it came up much earlier, but in Google Forms, you can definitely create layers so that if this, then that.
Yeah.
That's all. Thanks so much for all you're doing, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else want to raise your hand or unmute your mic and turn your camera on? We've got a few more minutes.
No other hands raised.
Okay. Remember, please reach out to us if you have any questions or concerns, and we are going to continue working full speed ahead, which isn't really that fast for us, little by little.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Sorry.
Roll call.
You're going to do a roll call vote.
Yeah. So is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, so we'll vote to adjourn by roll call vote. Mary Jane Schofield?
Yes.
Judy Palm-Stepper?
Yes.
Elise Stokes? Yes. Okay, it is 8:12, and we will adjourn. Good night, everybody.
Thanks,
night,
everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.